35. Eddie did not feel the sting of the hail as Roland dropped the hide, got to his feet, and ran to where Susanna lay. The gunslinger grabbed her beneath the arms and dragged her, as gently and carefully as he could, across to where Eddie crouched. "Let it go when I tell you, Susanna," Roland shouted. "Do you understand? When I tell you!" Eddie saw and heard none of this. He heard only Jake screaming faintly on the other side of the door. The time had come to use the key. He pulled it out of his shirt and slid it into the keyhole he had drawn. He tried to turn it. The key would not turn. Not so much as a millimeter. Eddie lifted his face to the pelting hail, oblivious to the ice balls which struck his forehead and cheeks and lips, leaving welts and red blotches. "No!" he howled. "Oh, God, please, no!" But there was no answer from God. Only another crash of thunder and a streak of lightning across a sky now filled with racing clouds. 36. Jake lunged upward, grabbed the chain of the lamp which hung above him, and ripped free of the doorkeeper's clutching fingers. He swung backward, used the packed earth in the doorway to push off, and then swung forward again like Tarzan on a vine. He raised his legs and kicked out at the clutching fingers as he closed on them. Plaster exploded in chunks, revealing a crudely jointed skeleton of lathing beneath. The plaster man roared, a sound of intermingled hunger and rage. Beneath that cry, Jake could hear the whole house collapsing, like the one in that story of Edgar Allan Poe. He pendulumed back on the chain, struck the wall of packed earth which blocked the doorway, then swung forward again. The hand reached up for him, and he kicked at it wildly, legs scissoring. He felt a stab of pain in his foot as those wooden fingers clutched. When he swung back again, he was minus a sneaker. He tried for a higher grip on the chain, found it, and began to shinny up toward the ceiling. There was a muffled, creaking thud above him. Fine plaster dust had begun to sift down on his upturned, sweating face. The ceiling had begun to sag. The lamp chain was pulling out of it a link at a time. There was a thick crunching sound from the end of the hallway as the plaster man finally pushed its hungry face through the opening. Jake swung helplessly back toward that face, screaming. 37. Eddie's terror and panic suddenly fell away. The cloak of coldness dropped over him, a cloak Roland of Gilead had worn many times. It was the only armor the true gunslinger possessed, and all such a one needed. At the same moment, a voice spoke in his mind. He had been haunted by such voices over the last 3 months, his mother's voice, Roland's voice, and, of course, Henry's. But this one he recognized with relief was his own, and it was at last calm and rational and courageous. "You saw the shape of the key in the fire. You saw it again in the wood, and both times you saw it perfectly. Later on, you put a blindfold of fear over your eyes. Take it off. Take it off and look again. It may not be too late, even now." He was faintly aware that the gunslinger was staring at him grimly, faintly aware that Susanna was shrieking at the demon in a fading but still defiant voice, faintly aware that on the other side of the door, Jake was screaming in terror. Or was it now agony? Eddie ignored them all. He pulled the wooden key out of the keyhole he had drawn, out of the door, which was now real, and looked at it fixedly, trying to recapture the innocent delight he had sometimes known as a child, the delight of seeing a coherent shape hidden in senselessness. And there it was, the place he'd gone wrong, so clearly visible he couldn't understand how he'd missed it in the first place. "I really must have been wearing a blindfold," he thought. It was the S shape at the end of the key, of course. The second curve was a bit too fat, just a tiny bit. "Knife," he said, and held out his hand like a surgeon in an operating room. Roland slapped it into his palm without a word. Eddie gripped the top of the blade between the thumb and first finger of his right hand. He bent over the key, unmindful of the hail which pelted his unprotected neck, and the shape in the wood stood out more clearly, stood out with its own lovely and undeniable reality. He scraped. Once. delicately. A single sliver of ash, so thin it was almost transparent, curled up from the belly of the S-shape at the end of the key. On the other side of the door, Jake Chambers shrieked again.